Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
This is what we came for, friends and comrades. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday the 14th of September. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidushina Hantharaja. Plenty of time.
Yeah.
Nice. The running order says it's Jim Campbell here, but that's just a funny joke made by funny producer Charlie.
Oh, funny producer Charlie. If you ever have that room again, Vish, you should just bash out the at the end for ages.
Yeah, I thought maybe I could add. I've got four A's in my last name. I could have
put some R in.
Could have doubled it, yeah.
And just we could do a Beach Boy style harmony.
We could have done. Should we start the show again?
Yeah, sure.
I can't sing, so I was going to observe.
I'm not sure that counted as singing, but thank you, Rich. That's really nice
of you.
You
got a bit of a warble to you.
Yeah,
I was
beefing it up. I was trying to give you some opera.
Beefy warble amazing.
Nice.
As she was known at school.
Hopefully not. Warbler. No, I really hope not. No. Many other things I was called, but never that. as far as I know. Let's get into the football, shall we, guys? It is what we came for. And what we're going to start with is Tottenham against Everton. Dominic Calvert-Lewin with the only goal in that one. A header from a set piece. And the massive highlight, I guess, in this game for Everton fans was the immediately good performances of all three new signings. The club, including Alan, who was the man of the match, according to Sky Sports. But, of course, also James Rodriguez with five chances created, which apparently is more chances than any other Everton player has created in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Single game.
That's brilliant.
It's more than any debutant has created since Sanchez in 2014 or 2014.
What have you got, Pete?
Nice. I just like debutants. This Premier League first weekend has been the debutants' ball, and everyone's had a lovely time.
Hasn't it?
I don't think there's been any kind of debuts that haven't been excellent.
What is a debutant's ball?
Wasn't that great? But
is it like a high society kind of Lapsang Souchong and punch balls?
Yeah, back in the day, people used to get introduced into society. Mm. So if you were a lady, you had to come out in public.
Right, okay.
I think that's what it is. So you'd be, you're basically being, your mum and dad are basically saying, she's on the market.
She's hot to trot.
And did you know, also, they wear white dresses. And I have a friend. Yeah. This is something that still happens, certainly in China.
Right.
And in the States as well.
Mm.
Yeah. And one of my friends actually did one in the States, and they wear these, like, wedding dress style dresses.
Oh, wow. Words.
It's like in the OC. Is it cotillion, like, in the OC?
Yeah.
That's
I'm
it.
I'm pretty sure it is.
But yeah, no, it was the three debutants. You know, Everton had never played four South Americans in the same team before.
Oh.
Yeah, which is a stat that actually doesn't mean anything at all.
No,
but
truly.
But it's quite cool, I thought. And I like the idea that they've all got friends as well, because you've got two Brazilians in there, in Alan and Richarlison, and then you've got Hiro Mina and James Rodriguez for Colombia. I like the fact that, you know, they all talk to each other, probably talk about the other players to each other as well. Bit rude, probably, but no, we like it. Yeah, Alan was great. He was really bringing back, like, three-quarter length shorts, because he's quite small. And he'd obviously pulled them up a bit as well. So he looked like a bit of a throwback player, like Stanley Matthews.
Yeah.
But he was...
he does have a lovely moustache, a little kind of pencil moustache as well. Yeah. So that kind of...
He looks like he's up to no good. And he was quite...
he was up to no good. He was destroying everyone. He was just so... He was the most outstanding player on the pitch. He was just into everyone. Fantastic.
It was quite interesting at the end of the game, because Dele Alli got substituted at half time and Moussa Sissoko got brought on and moved out to the right so that Lucas Moura could go through the middle. And Mourinho confirmed in his press conference
it was tactical,
yeah. But also the reason it was tactical is because he thought Alan was having too much of a good time and basically thought that as Moura is the more direct creative threat, he could really undo Alan, because he thought they were giving Alan too much credit. Basically, he thought that, he was not good enough to maintain that performance, which he did.
Turns out I got that wrong. He was quite a good footballer.
Yeah. And I also think he, Mourinho disguised that because Richarlison had a very good game as well on the left. And I think Sissoko...
Notable miss aside, but yeah.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah. But having Sissoko out there on the right was basically to negate him. But yeah, I mean, it was all about the other wing, James Rodriguez. What a lovely, lovely player. A lovely man as well. He still looks very young.
You mean aesthetically?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you met him?
No, unfortunately not. I saw him from afar, because they do their Perspex interviews kind of on the pitch while everyone else is on the other side of it. And the press box in at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is quite near the sideline. So
you kind of get a good view. The side of it.
Yes, yeah.
Doing those fish faces.
That's really not COVID friendly.
Yeah.
Do not try that at home,
do
guys.
Fish faces.
Please.
Just blowing hot air onto the Perspex and drawing a heart with my finger.
You're lovely.
In fact, on that note, we've had an email. We haven't got a jingle yet, have we?
No, we'll get to it. I'm
pretty excited about this jingle.
My jingle monkeys are working very hard on the jingle as we speak. I've paid them $200, basically.
Approve of making animals work, even
no,
for money.
No, good point. Is it, what did monkeys collect that's naughty, that people find it somehow problematic now?
Collect?
Yeah, don't they collect
tea leaves sometimes?
Tea leaves?
I think
right.
No, isn't that just a PG Tips advert? Are you getting confused?
There's that monkey as well, yes.
Yeah.
But
that's chimpanzees, Kurt. Get out.
There is, okay. There's definitely some kind of tea where, you know, because the highest bits of the tea
the best
tree.
Tea, yeah. Is where the oil is.
It's right up high. Right. So if you're a monkey, you're much smaller than your average tea picker.
Yeah.
So you can go up and get the most delicious and succulent leaves.
Exactly. So, yeah, we shouldn't be doing that anymore, and we should certainly not be making them get involved in Pro Tools audio production.
No.
At any point.
Correct. Unless they like it.
Unless it's a vocation for them.
Yeah.
They wrote Shakespeare. What are you having a
Yeah, that's actually a great point. Anyway, Justin Griffith has emailed in. Thanks, mate. Don't forget, everyone else, you can do it. show@footballramble.com. What a beautiful new email.
Mm.
Justin says, now that he's in the Premier League, it's time we had a frank and open discussion. We're here for you. About the fact that James Rodriguez looks like Colombian Eddie Redmayne.
I don't see that.
They've got the same mouth. They've both got letterbox mouths, as boxing parlance used to go.
Huh,
they've got quite
letterbox
wide...
Letterbox mouth?
I think they call it a letterbox mouth. It's like Ramesses II. Any mummy, basically, has always got a big, long mouth. And
yeah,
Eddie Redmayne's got a big long mouth, and obviously James Rodriguez also has a large mouth.
Right, okay.
So I think that's what he's going for. That's
I think Eddie Redmayne's got better cheekbones. I think James Rodriguez is better coming in from the right.
Well, we haven't actually seen... I've never seen Eddie Redmayne play football.
No.
So
he's a fantastic beast on the field.
It could, yeah, and it could be that just, you know, the acting world needed him, but he was.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been tasty. Aren't most actors in the situation when they always have a story where they could have played for, so, you know, Glasgow Rangers or something, and they're just,
yeah.
It's, everyone's got a story. It's
they always
rubbish.
Think they could have, yeah.
And then you see them soccer and they're not that good.
Yeah.
Pressure, though.
Yeah, pressure. Oh,
my God.
Pressure.
Yeah. Pressure on the big stage.
It's going down at soccer.
Is that Jonathan Wilkes? It is, yeah.
Maybe one for another day. You, given that you're not... Jim have very brilliantly and kindly allowed us to focus on Everton throughout that whole section. So I mean, move on again.
Yeah, we could. Just like one last thing on James. It was a really, really great performance because he was, as I said before, like he accessed all areas of the field. I think the second highest amount of passes he made to a specific player was Richarlison, who was on the opposite wing, which I suppose is a good indication of how he was kind of cutting inside and influencing play there.
Yeah.
And he put himself about as well. He was quite keen to get into the rough and tumble because, you know, the typical thing we always throw at overseas players, especially players who've been really good elsewhere, not even just players who've come out of nowhere, specifically those players who've excelled in you know, on the world stage as he has, wondering about how they would fare with the rough and tumble of it, and he just didn't mind at all. He's got his hands dirty. He's probably got his knees dirty because they're the uncovered bits, aren't they?
Yeah, all bits.
But he was all over Ben Davies for a lot of that, and he wasn't afraid to get kicked as well, which massively helped Everton because everything he did really put Spurs on the back foot. And as we move on to Spurs, I think it's
as we move on
hilarious, really, that. hilarious from my point of view because I'm massively bought into the Amazon documentary because I am a sheep and I watch stuff on TV or my computer and I'm like, right, this is my new opinion now.
Right.
And I really left that thinking, you know, Mourinho to a point has been hamstrung by the injuries, by not being able to get people in, by not having the right amount of time to work on the shape he needs, blah, 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 blah. And then just yesterday in his post-match press conference when he talks about how it's great that the cameras aren't there and now they can work in intimacy, all I could think was the only person who's benefited from that documentary is you, Jose. Yeah. So
the Alexas are still listening. Don't you worry about that. But you do sort of look at the Spurs squad and everyone has either been replaced by a player who doesn't look quite as good or just not replaced at all. Eriksen's out, you know. Even Wanyama. When Wanyama leaves and you're like, you'd quite like a Wanyama on the bench just to shore things up a little bit. So the Spurs squad just don't have it. I think two London clubs, Fulham and Spurs, you don't want to go crazy in the last few weeks of the transfer window, but they need players, they need bodies. They look very, very ordinary and they looked very, very ordinary yesterday.
The one, sorry for sighing into the mic loads, that's probably not a great audio experience, guys, I apologise. The one exception to that, I would say, is Matt Doherty. If I were to really, like, clutch at straws,
it's a Matt Doherty-shaped straw.
Yeah.
And you're clutching.
But just to your point about feeling as though he's replaced someone that you feel a bit better about, you know, not seeing Serge Aurier there was a bonus for me. It's all about the context as well, isn't it? It's all these games, they're all about the context because as we've pointed out, Everton looking pretty good, could be pretty good this season. And you know, when Spurs lost 7-2 to Bayern Munich, we thought, Spurs are dreadful. But that was before the Barcelona game. So.
Was that your 9-0? like after Southampton lost 9-0 to Leicester, they were like, right, and, you know, people keep mentioning it now. Do you think we need to keep mentioning 7-2 Bayern Munich? And then
I just mean it's all about context, isn't it? And also, let's not forget, this week Spurs have signed one of the greatest strikers in the world, Alex Morgan. So.
They have, yeah.
If she can get on the field, I would definitely endorse that.
Let's not distract from that, they're two very, very different things, aren't they?
Which?
Alex Morgan signing for the women's side and the issues with the men's side. I've just seen
it's
it.
It's sexist, isn't it, Vish?
No. I've just seen it in your eyes, and I realise I might be able to make you cry here. So
go.
Because
be combative. Did you see
anything yesterday? Because even Doherty, to an extent, was just him being him, you know, Mourinho wouldn't have told him to do any of those things. That was exactly what he was doing for Wolves last year.
Yeah.
There's a really good bit of interplay with Harry Kane when Kane has a nice little dink over and he has that volley that Pickford saves. But did you see anything there that suggests this season is going to be any different to last season? Because I didn't. And I know it's early and I know, you know, Gio Lo Celso was injured. But that looked a bit like...
That was my other straw that I was going to clutch on, dick.
Because, like, the thing about yesterday as well was that you got the impression that they were waiting for Everton to make a mistake and hit them on the break. And not only did they not hit them on the break when they had the chances with any real conviction, Everton didn't really make that many mistakes. And if they're going to come up short against a side that finished 12th last year, even with their recruitment... it's quite demoralising for a Spurs fan, I'd say.
I don't have to answer that.
You
don't have to answer it, but you need to hear it.
Do I? I mean, I did watch the bloody game and I made my little sad notes and I wrote my team. You know, when I watch Spurs, I tend to, pretty much every game, I'll like write out the team sheet and I'll think, oh, God, I wish we had different things going on here. And then I make my notes that are sad about what is wrong with the game. So, yeah, look, I don't feel very happy about watching that team. I think that we're not likely to sack Jose Mourinho. I'm not advocating that necessarily, but...
Could you sack a bit of him?
You know, I feel, you know, I know this is probably a lonely opinion, but I do kind of trust Daniel Levy, although I think he was a bit starstruck by Jose, as you can see in the documentary. So... I guess, you know, but he's done some extraordinary things at the club, blah, 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 the stadium, etc. Some great deals. You know, we have some incredible players. My only option here really is to believe that it's possible for Mourinho to make these players play like a team. But as you say, Vish, I didn't see much evidence of that. Liverpool beat Leeds 4-3. What an extraordinary game. What a fun riot that was.
It did. With the caveat that Liverpool weren't at their best and they didn't keep hold of the ball anywhere near as much as you would usually expect a Liverpool side to do. Leeds were fantastic in attack. They did their homework. They targeted players that needed to be targeted and they will be relegated in May. That was fucking ridiculous. Bielsa would have been raging about that Virgil van Dijk header because he's the main heading attack and he's just unmarked. Unbelievable scenes. Ridiculous.
The relegated in May thing is something that I thought about yesterday as well because they were so much fun.
Yeah,
and I was like,
it won't be last of the season. It'll be a week before. It'll be the week before,
yeah.
And we'll have had a bloody good time.
It felt a little bit like, you know, everyone has that mate who is great on a night out, and it's only when it's too late that you realise they might have a problem.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah,
you
yeah,
end
yeah.
up kind of. You end up pushing it because you're encouraging them, and you're like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, come on!" Yeah. He's always up for a, he's always up for a drink.
She's he enables up for a drink. Your bad behaviour.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you kind of excuse yourself, and you have fun, and you kind of ride their coattails, and everything's great, and you never deal with anything, you know, all the other bits. I feel like that's where we're going to be around this table as people who aren't Leeds fans.
Yeah,
we're going to be like, God, they're so much fun. And then they're going to be shipping four goals every game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel judged, Vish.
No, I am that man.
Yeah. At a time when like teams aren't allowed in the ground, that possibly would have been better for Liverpool and Leeds because that was ridiculous. But like when fans aren't allowed on the ground and the Premier League season has started and you sort of go, oh, it's such a shame that you don't hear the roar of the crowd and well, you do if you choose certain channels. But we needed that match. We needed a first weekend match like that because if we hadn't, I think it would have been a very different situation. I really enjoy this weekend of football and this was definitely part of it, the fulcrum, so to speak.
Did you get the impression, you know, the thing about Bielsa teams is that they start very quickly and they run and run and run and then they, you know, run out of steam at the end of the season. Do you think we saw that, you know, confined within 90 minutes, on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, there's a definite kind of... I know the old story is about Bielsa teams, they're just exhausted by the end of the match. But you've stepped up a level there and you're in the Premier League and you're up against the champions. It takes a hell of a lot more. And Liverpool were having an off day. I think if they'd faced a Liverpool side in any other form or in any other situation or state, I think they probably would have been beaten handsomely. But yeah, I think it's going to be a long season for them, and they are going to be rinsed.
So you think, sorry, that Liverpool, because they were having an off day, it's not reflective of what Leeds can do? Because I'm just thinking, obviously Liverpool made a few cock-ups and Virgil van Dijk was bad.
But I think they targeted van Dijk. I think that the way the ball came in, I was like, you've seen him sort of clear those in exactly the same way. And I think, who was on him? It was Bamford, wasn't it? I think that was a game plan, and it went really, and that's what you get from Bielsa. But unfortunately, the rigours of Premier League football means that they will make mistakes like they made in the penalty box, giving away silly penalties.
But Liverpool didn't defend that well. I mean, neither side seemed to think that defence was a main part of this game, right?
God bless them.
Yes!
God bless every single one of them.
That's what we won.
Yeah. I actually, when I was watching the game, and one of the players that they seemed to target a fair bit, as well as Van Dijk, was Alexander-Arnold.
Mm. Yeah.
And I suppose a lot of that was to pin him back. But, you know, Jack Harrison's goal comes from that left-hand side when Calvin Phillips puts that ball over and he gets to it before Alexander-Arnold and cuts inside and he shoots in at the near post. And I wonder, because Bielsa is such a meticulous bloke and he's so fine on the details, that while, you know, I mean, I hope Leeds don't get relegated, but if they do, I reckon within the season's play, he would have identified little kinks in different teams that other people might pick up on.
Yeah.
And so he's already set in, you know, I saw it on, I know it's Twitter, so that kind of any kind of information spreads like wildfire doesn't need to be correct. But already people were talking about how defensively lax Alexander-Arnold is. When, you know, obviously all the talk up until the end of last season was how incredible creative force he is.
But he started last season quite slow, and people kind of pointed that out in through the lens of this match. And maybe Bielsa just went, he just has a slow start to the season, so really, really target him. I don't know. Maybe it's his conditioning. I just don't know.
Heading the ball into your own net, even though that goal was obviously disallowed, is not the symptom of a man whose brain is not a tiny bit scrambled.
Do you think he just forgot where he was? Oh, goal!
I'm good at this!
Yeah. You do see those decisions being made, and it ends up in the net, and you sort of go, look, he needed to clear it, he messed it up a little bit, but he was, I just liked after it was called offside, he was like talking to the ball, talking to himself, talking to the fans, go, yeah, no, I don't care, you know, I, how could you say I didn't mean it when I meant it? I didn't mean it. I knew it.
I wanted to score.
I wanted to score. Yeah. Goal.
Put that in my FIFA statistic. Jonathan Liu, actually, lovely opening paragraph. His match report, actually, it was on the Spurs game, but here's how he opened it. First weekends are all about hope, fresh grass and fresh dreams, the new tactics that oppositions haven't yet worked out and the new players who haven't yet been paid for. It's a weekend for flinging perspective to one side and letting your imagination run riot. A weekend of kings and frauds. Doesn't say anything about bald frauds, but anyway, and nothing in between. And I think in some ways, yeah, that's exactly what it was, and particularly this game, even though that's not the one he was writing about.
Can we congratulate Mo Salah on that bloody goal? Jesus. Hitch Jehoshaphat. Wow.
That was sick.
It was so straight, wasn't it? He hit it so pure and true. Yeah. There was no cut on the ball. You know, it didn't bend in any way.
It just stick.
I saw him, so I picked him in my fantasy team because I saw a photo of him in pre-season. I was like, that is a man who looks on
sharp.
It.
Sharp.
Yeah. Well, his hair, he's got...
The hair a bit.
Well, he's signed,
well he was topless, so I was like, right, okay.
Oh my God, his six-pack is something, eight-pack is something absurd. Very extraordinary because he's a small man and he's very like tight and compact, so it's, ridgy.
Yeah, it doesn't look comfortable.
Looks like he's being... It's like a muscle girdle.
Yeah.
It's trying to kill me.
Like it would look like it would hurt himself. If he coughed, it would punch him in the stomach.
Instant, what do you call it? When your bit of your gut comes through your stomach wall.
Oh, yeah, hernia.
Hernia, instant hernia. Because his abs are too tight.
Oh, but the other way, like an internal hernia.
But his hair, he's starting to style his hair like Jordan Shaqiri a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit like the guy at Future Islands, that kind of like tight in the side and then enhancing the widow's peak. Oh, beautiful. Apparently, he's looking stylish.
So apparently he's going to go to Barcelona. Discuss. Ronald Koeman's made him his top target.
Apparently a friend of Ronald Koeman has said that he wants to go to Barcelona.
Oh.
Donald Koeman.
A friend of Ronald Koeman says Mo Salah wants to go to Barcelona.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. A friend. Interesting.
Don't know.
I said Donald
Koeman. It's going to be a close friend, I expect, to be saying useful things like that. Mm. He must have a lot of insight.
Yeah, it was, maybe he's just saying it to encourage Ronald Koeman. He's like, yeah, it's a good idea. I think I've heard he wants to come.
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily see why Mo Salah would want to play for a Boston in a side that looks like that in preference to a Liverpool side that looks like that.
Like that.
Let's get to a break. Coming up, after a weekend spent predicting very effectively, I think, we'll find out how we're going in Betway's Four to Score and we'll celebrate Arsenal.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
In 2020, self-care can seem like yet another overwhelming job for women.
Every week, we test out a new kind of self-care so you don't have to.
Firstly, can we just clarify how we pronounce it?
Kombucha?
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Kombucha. Self-care club. Wellness road tested.
So that was the first day. You know, it was just the not slipping into the complete default mode of what I normally do, which is have a go at my husband for what he hasn't done. And, you know, all of that stuff, I kind of stopped.
Okay, so it was more the absence of meanness rather than the projection of kindness at this initial point.
Yes.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This week, we are testing out menstrual cups. How are you feeling?
Dreading it. I know that you love to give a practice that's all about down below. I'm not interested. I've never even really thought about it since before I met you.
Never thought about your vagina until you met me.
It doesn't get a lot of air time. It doesn't get a lot of air time. No, it doesn't.
The Self-Care Club is a Stakhanov production.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Pete and Vish, in your ears today. Let's get you a little Four to Score update from Betway. Entry to Four to Score, don't forget, is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected games for your chance to win a £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are in before the first game, fairly obviously. Further T's and C's apply. The fourth game, Brighton-Chelsea, is tonight. But to be honest, that's not that important in the grand scheme of the Ramble attempts to predict this one. We've got, spoiler alert, naught correct to kick off the new season. Bit of a pain. Game one, Liverpool against Leeds United. Saturday, 5:30 p.m. That was Andy Pick, Sadio Mane. Decent idea. Mohamed Salah, though, got that hat-trick and got the first goal. Game two was Luke's pick. West Brom against Leicester. Playing it safe, good idea. Luke went with Jamie Vardy, who did, of course, score two, but not the first one. The first one came from Timothy Castagne, another one of these debutants having a good opening game of the season. Game three was Marcus's pick. Spurs against Everton, the Sunday 4:30 kickoff. Marcus picked Harry Kane. God bless him. But it was, in fact, Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And game four is still to come. That was Jules's pick. Brighton against Chelsea is tonight. Jules has picked Timo Werner. So we're all still, well, none of us, apart from Jules, are in it to win it here. Fortescore will be back on the previous show again this Friday. It's all in for the individual prize, isn't it, Vish?
Yeah, yeah. It's all, this is not a team sport.
It's from your perspective.
Yeah. It's an individual pursuit, you know, based around a team sport. Yeah. But it's every man and woman for themselves.
And we've all been pretty dreadful, to be fair.
I'm one for one.
It's exactly. So I'm saying we've all been terrible, and Vish, you have been excellent so far. So.
Yeah. So I'm never going to do one again.
Never turn up on a Friday.
That was supposed to be your attitude to Luke's game, wasn't it?
Yeah. And look what happened.
I'm going to get Mason. Yeah. No, biggie.
I got Masoned. Yeah.
Yes, you bloody did.
But I do hope Timo Werner scores about five this evening, which will obviously please Jules if he scores first, because he's very much in my fantasy league team. And I have only got 20 points and I am gutted. Terrible start to the season.
I've made a right hash of that.
I didn't really want to do it, but I thought we'd do it as a collective football ramble thing. Mm-hmm. And as with all kind of... Oh, it will be fun. It wasn't fun.
No.
In the Football Ramble ecosystem league, it's got like hundreds of people. I am literally in the bottom 5%, if not lower. It's disgrace. I'm on the last page, guys. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
My morale was so crushed by that Spurs performance, to be honest. I just thought I probably shouldn't look. And this will help me really improve my emotional stability. Arsenal beat Fulham 3-0 in the opening game of the season. Big performance from Mikel Arteta's side against the new boys. Scruffy little opener from Alexander Lacazette. 5 yards out, little header from Gabriel, new signing, off a corner perhaps. Fulham keeper Matt Ruddock should have done better, but it was obviously from quite close range. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang into the far corner from the edge of the penalty area for the third. Three very different goals. One consistent factor, three assists from new signing Willian. Let's not forget they got on a free. Are Chelsea going to regret that?
Well, I mean, I think Andy Brassel on Friday quite rightly sort of said if Willian can spend a little bit more time in the centre of the field, he's going to have a lovely time. But to be honest, the way he kind of disrupts and if he can get like Pepe and him playing in the same side, that is going to be an interesting little kind of relationship. But he was imperious. He was fantastic at the weekend. When Willian plays that well and plays that playmaker also excellently, like the spectre of Ozil just disappears. He could be farmed out to play golf for the rest of time, and no one would really care as long as William was playing like that. But will he stay fit at that age? I don't know.
32, isn't he?
Yeah,
but he's got quite a good history of injuries.
Find that a bit
he?
Personal. Sorry,
32. I mean, he's 32. I mean, he's cracking on. That. I mean, at some point his age will catch up with him.
Don't but when say he's that.
Come on, it's only hurtful.
2 years older than him.
I'm 39. You can both get stuffed, quite frankly.
I'm in prime physical condition.
I'm dressed like a teenager.
And I'm sat next to Kate. Yeah, I can't be hearing this. Well, no, thanks for that, V. I thought he, just after what Andy said on Friday, I kind of wondered that, actually, you know, it does make sense, considering that he was always a bit of a drifter when he was playing at Chelsea. He's not kind of the kind of winger that...
He'd ride the rails. He'd ride the rails in an old coat.
With a harmonica in his top pocket.
One of those sticks with the red kind of knapsack over his shoulder. Yeah.
Like Dick Whittington.
Yeah, a knife in his boot.
Yeah.
But he looked a touch of class yesterday. Well, not yesterday, on Saturday. We should also say that, you know, very much in the spirit of doing down any good thing that happens to anyone, that Fulham were dreadful.
Yeah.
Good, yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I did want to say about that, but I didn't want it to look like sour grapes.
Yeah, no, they were pretty bad, and they had the same issues that I thought would afflict them in the Premier League after they secured promotion in the playoffs, is that you can't really tell if they have any discernible style, and in the Championship they seem to get through games just by having better players. And in the Premier League, that's not really going to fly, is it?
They looked like they weren't prepared to be promoted. They were like, "Oh, we've done it again. Oh, we're up. Oh, God, we're not going to buy as many players as we did last time because that really
didn't
screwed
work.
Us."
Even though they bought some quite good ones, like Jean-Michel Seri.
Yeah, they just looked completely. Their intensity wasn't there. Their press wasn't there, and they just seemed unwilling or unable to break any team down or just play passes forward effectively. It was poor from them, I thought.
Yeah, they seemed to rely on a game plan that was, this is Arsenal, they might Arsenal this. They didn't Arsenal it at all.
Well, to be fair, there was that chance in the second minute where there was a sort of
communication. Habu went over and Leno kind of stuck
saved
a boot
the day,
out.
Well, it was Maitland-Niles, wasn't it? He passed it back and Gabriel didn't. But I mean, it was first 2 minutes and, you know, they haven't played together.
But I mean, if that's your only chance, just...
It's not ideal,
yeah.
is it? It's not.
But it was interesting that they, you know, both sides tried to play out from the back and Fulham just didn't have the courage to keep up with it. It was clearly something that Scott Parker tried to instill in them, but every now and again, Rodab would just hoof the ball forward and Arsenal would get it back and keep it for a lot. Granted, we probably judge Fulham a bit more after a few more games where they've played teams that they're going to be around for most of the league. But, it didn't look particularly promising.
No.
No.
I feel so. Marcus is going to listen to this and feel he's going to really hate us, isn't he?
I don't know.
He's so excited, wasn't he? Yeah.
Marcus is a man with a clear perspective on life, I feel like.
Well, he's a
positive guy, though.
He is,
he?
yeah. Sunny side up is our Spelsy. He obviously big fan of Aleksandar Mitrovic, and I think he thought he was going to do really well in this season. I cannot see that happening because I remember he when he joined Fulham, obviously he had a good, was it 10-11 games where he was almost like a goal a game, and he was great. But at Newcastle, he can really go off the boiling and really go missing in matches. So I think him getting brought on at 73 minutes is a sign that Scott Parker doesn't necessarily trust him either.
Yeah, I think if you watch a guy celebrate a goal like Aleksandar Mitrovic, you see a man who is quite out of control. Yeah, I don't necessarily mean his own goals.
No.
I mean the way he literally, like, you know, sometimes those goal celebrations as a team look quite dangerous.
Yeah.
He looks like he's going to snap whoever it is who scored.
Maybe that's
late.
Why Fulham aren't putting the ball in the net. You're frightened that Mitrovic is going to come up behind him.
Who was the Newcastle player where when Mitrovic celebrated a goal, he strangled him?
Oh, God,
grabbed
yes.
him by the throat, didn't
oh,
he?
Was yes, that yes, now? Yes. Absolutely destroyed. Yes. I can't remember to be honest.
What a good thing you've done. Let me squeeze the life out of you.
it's a worry. Maybe that's the angle we were missing. It's just fear of that. And that's perhaps why Scott Parker didn't bring him on until the 73rd minute. Although there's also some question mark about his hammies, isn't there?
Yeah.
So
who knows? Who knows?
Well, let's get into Newcastle, shall we then?
All right,
PT,
then.
You must be floating on air today,
as is
your wont, after a victory 2-0 against West Ham, who are shite.
89 minutes out of Andy Carroll we got. It only took every single nightclub in the UK to be closed. Amazing. It's all it took.
You're having a gathering of more than six people. Yes, 22 of us on there. Oh, brilliant. I'm in. I'm all over this.
I brought poppers. No, none of that. But I mean, as a Newcastle fan, like, what a hit from Hendrick. He should never have had that time to get this shot away, but what a hit!
So little backlift as
I know.
Well.
Oh, it was a heading towards a little dinkle dandy. Fantastic.
My favourite Andy Carroll bit was managing to elbow two people in the side of the head in the opening eight.
Oh my God.
I was like, the VAR and checking this. This is going to be a nightmare. But to be honest, I think I love Andy Carroll. He's such a destructive kind of influence, and he takes all of the kind of focus off other footballers so they can go and do their thing. So I think that's why a lot of, like, Callum Wilson and to be honest, Hendrick had such a good game because Carroll is just such a disruptive influence, certainly in the 18-yard box. But I mean, West Ham had that, like, a little patch of pressure where Newcastle just sat back and went, right, we've got our goal. You're not really showing us much apart from some loose kind of looping headers onto the bar first and second half. And they sat on their lead for half an hour. And West Ham had their chances and they didn't take them. They looked really... They didn't have any penetration. They were a little bit listless. And you know, Noble coming off about... Is it half an hour from the end or maybe 20 minutes from the end? I know that Souness has been has waxed lyrical or less than lyrical about how much he didn't appreciate the way that that Noble spoke about his team and how it's being run from boardroom level. But
in reaction to the Grady Diangana,
yeah. But I think that he looked like at times that looked like the only player who kind of gave a toss, quite frankly. So yeah, it was a really really good performance for Newcastle that. It wasn't really good performance for Newcastle.
Here we go.
It was a necessary performance against quite a poor West Ham side.
I've written in my note about Jeff Hendrick, a smart signing on a free transfer. And I have to say, I don't really understand Newcastle's transfer policy right now. It's like they want to just become a good sort of good team.
I know, just a good mid-level team.
Gaps,
yeah,
you know?
I like it.
And I think they're up against the West Ham side that don't really. Although they did spend good money. What summer would it have been? Last summer, summer before? I've lost track. And that seemed and was quite a positive. You expected great things, and
that's the thing. I guess when you talk to West Ham fans, I'm most surprised how. Maybe I've only got a sample size or a very sample size of about two or three West Ham mates, but they all seem to kind of say that, you know, Moyes probably not a bad manager for our level effectively, but he doesn't get the best out of the more creative players, obviously. And they look very, very ordinary in this match. He was very upset about Callum Wilson's high foot, but I was like, well, and he sort of said the level of refereeing, the level of officiating in this match is pretty poor. And it's like, well, don't target ASMR. And you were booting the crap out of him pretty much all of the match. So that upset me. Leave my beautiful boy alone. Leave my beautiful man alone.
The Noble thing is interesting because, you know, obviously everyone knows about the issues that West Ham fans have with their board and the desire to get them out as quickly as possible. But the reaction to that sale, the fact that, you know, Mark Noble tweeted about it and so many other West Ham players liked it, is the first time that you saw that kind of board interference really having a negative effect. You know, really, you know, and I'm sure that it's a kind of club where a lot of stuff gets filtered down quite quickly, but that was the first time that players have actively come out and really rallied against it. And I mean, I think that was a performance that showed that there is still a great deal of frustration there. And it might be a case that it's not the manager that has to change. It really is having to sell the club for it to survive. And I suppose only time will tell who's going to shift in that matter of Mark Noble and David Moyes get turfed out and
Newcastle in the front of that queue. Thank you very much, Fish. Once we're sold, they can sell. All right.
I like the way you described this as well, because I thought it was a really accomplished performance from Newcastle, but Pete described it as a necessary
performance.
Much in the way that we find a cure to COVID, that'll be a necessary cure.
I want it to be a flamboyant cure. I want a flamboyant vaccine. I want my lead to go blue. I want my eyes to turn rainbow colours. And also, I want to be free of being able to get COVID. That's what I want from my COVID vaccine. All right, Vish?
All right. I mean, it's good. I mean, you know, aim for the moon. Aim for the stars.
Project Moonshot. Project Moonshot. That's what the government are up to, isn't it?
Was it aim for the moon so
aim for the stars and you hit the moon?
Why'd you want to hit the moon, though?
Yeah.
It's good up there.
It's good up there.
You saw that John Lewis advert. You seem to be having a great time.
One source, Steph. That's great up here, isn't it?
Yeah. Kate Mason, it's great up here.
On the moon.
On the moon.
Yeah. Well, someone else who's living in somewhere different to the rest of us, I think it's fair to say.
My favourite story of the whole decade, I think. Magnificent.
His old Damo Delaney. Crystal Palace fans might recognise him as a former player of theirs, former defender. And now, even though people can't go to the stadiums, what you can do is a little plug for the old buy your match day programmes online. Guys, I do actually think that's probably quite a good way to support your club. But anyway, nice. you can get a subscription to get the match day programmes that you would normally get if you're in the stadium, because obviously no one's there at the moment.
Print out a PDF.
Lovely.
Read it in the bath.
I think they can post it to you as well.
Oh, can they?
Yeah.
Nice. I like
it's that. Proper shine.
Bringing back the dead tree media. Good.
So, yes. And if you are a Crystal Palace fan who has sent off for the match day programmes, you would have been treated to... Well, quite a special interview, I think it's fair to say, with Delaney. It's like a dream dinner party feature that they do in the programme each week. And, he started with Keith Richards, which is nice. I think you pick, how many is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it's six in total. Perfect, obviously, for Although, Depends if they come from different households. Good point, yeah.
So he'd have to move in with Chairman Mao.
A lot of them are dead. A lot of them are dead, so would they possibly, it wouldn't be a problem, presumably.
Yeah, so it's not just Chairman Mao, but yes, it certainly is him. Keith Richards, as we mentioned. And then Joseph Stalin, Genghis Khan and Napoleon Bonaparte. On Stalin, I'm fascinated by Russian history, not because I'm a Stalinist. I'm not.
If you have to say you're not a Stalinist, say Catherine the Great then. She kickstarted the Russian Enlightenment. She hated fountains. She killed a lot of people as well. But, you know.
Everyone killed people back then.
Everyone killed back then.
That doesn't bother Damo.
He's absolutely stacked it here because I read up on this. What I didn't watch any of the football. I just sort of read up on what everyone ate. Stalin, a lot of Georgian foods, a lot of nuts, garlic. So you'd have to sort of have a lot of that on the banquet. Mao, he had chilies baked into everything. He famously said that you can't be a revolutionary if you don't eat chilies. Napoleon, erratic eating patterns. He would only ever eat when he was absolutely famished. He would just smash back a roast chicken.
No wonder he's so pissy all the time.
Also, you need a high chair for him, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Apparently, that's an overstatement about how short. That whole Napoleon complex thing is actually not true because of the era. He was like 5'7 or something.
That was my time.
That was our time, Vish.
I could have been a king.
People were smaller back then. Exactly.
So people are small now. Don't have a go. Mm.
You're a good height. We're all the height.
You're all the Vish we need. To be fair, I did watch you playing basketball at the weekend on your Instagram. It did very much accentuate our heights playing that game, I would say.
Yeah.
Quite
a discriminatory game, I'm going to say that. Despite all their great work.
Yeah.
The discrimination that matters. Or rather, fighting that.
Yeah. The Mongols, they were protein boys. They would eat any old boiled guts effectively on dung fire. Richards, I mean, would he eat anything? He was just heroin and quaaludes, wasn't it?
Naughty things.
Yeah, naughty things. So he eating shit. So yeah, just a very mixed bag there. It would have to be a mixed bag, and it would be a very difficult party to cater for, I would say.
Is it so Delaney would be hosting this and cooking?
I guess so.
Well, you have to, don't you? Yeah. Unless you did, what do they call it? A potluck.
What's a potluck?
You designate someone a course, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, nice. Oh, okay, God. Right. That's risky, isn't
it? Based on the old guts cooked over, what was it, dung?
Dung fire, yeah.
Also, they all live quite far away. And, you know, there's that weird thing where someone will leave over a bit of Tupperware and you've got to, like, clean it and give it back to him.
It'll be, and if it's all the yellow...
Genghis, you've left your...
Well, the Mongols used to...
Skulls.
They used to kill their animals by making a small incision in the chest, reaching through and nipping the aorta.
No.
And it was seen as like an ethical sort of thing to kill an animal like that. It's just like, just hit him in the head or something. Jeez. Ugh, gross. Yeah.
So you'd have to...
Who would he be sat next to?
Don't do that in the garden.
Or Genghis. Anywhere.
Genghis, you're an animal, mate.
I reckon...
It's not just humans you like to kill, you nutter. Sorry.
I reckon if they were sat around a table, I was trying to work out who would sit next to who.
Yeah.
But I know obviously Damien Delaney would sit next to Keith Richards. And spend a lot of time talking about the rest of them. do you know about this bloke?
So you think Keith Richards is just kind of wasted in this?
Well, yeah, it's Keith Richards, isn't he? Yeah.
I mean, his presence is wasted.
Because really, from the stories you're going to get, you'd really want to hear more about Keith Richards because the rest of them are pretty dark.
They're pretty out there, aren't they?
Yeah.
Self-explanatory.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's almost...
They're dogmatic, aren't they?
Yeah. He's basically organised a problematic family Christmas. You don't really want it to get too deep. You don't want anyone talking about politics.
No.
Just, you know, let Uncle Keith sort out the entertainment.
You probably wouldn't get a word in edgeways. It'd be like a dinner party with Luke.
It'd be like organising a football ramble night out, honestly. Goodness.
Completely impossible, I'd have thought. So, yeah, we initially thought that was a fake, but I think we've come around to the idea that, you know, it's good to be creative.
It's good to be creative. Look, people will be talking about that party for months.
They'd probably all bump each other off by the end of it. So
yeah.
Perhaps no one would be left to talk. Tonight, there's more football for you.
Hooray!
And your guests, potentially. Sheffield United up against Wolves. Brighton getting their campaign up and running against Chelsea, hoping for a goal, first goal from Timo Werner, so that Jules, you know, gets our glory back in the old Betway 4-2 score. Both of those ones on Sky Sports tonight. Tomorrow's show, it is Marcus, Jim and you, Vish.
5'7" king. I'm not even the tallest person in that room and Marcus is in it.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
I think I'm the shortest member of the... Oh, Jules, who am I talking about?
Have you met Jules?
Jules could fit through a basketball hoop. You could slam dunk Jules.
Well, no, Jules could take the ball and I could throw Jules up
yes!
to slam dunk it.
Nice, yeah. That's
like,
I want to see.
Wolverine and the big bloke.
I don't want to be mean here, Vish, but I don't think you can dunk.
No, exactly. That's why I need to throw Jules to dunk on my behalf.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm with you. So she's not the ball in this scenario.
No. I'm not kind of jumping up with Jules and... Yeah, dunk here.
Maybe me and you can go over to the basketball hoops over the road and just, you know, dunk score. just try our hardest to do some dunking.
Surely if your heart is pure, mine isn't, but surely if your heart is pure, you should be able to do anything you want and that includes dunking.
Yeah. I think maybe dunking is the one exception to that rule. But no, let's get out there and give it a try, guys.
You would say that, you big-handed giant.
Let's stay optimistic and let's stay friends, shall we? Let's stay friends by leaving right now. Goodbye, Vish.
Goodbye.
Bye, Pete.
Requiem.
Catch you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.